Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team. It's Cakes, EB, and JP. Loving the show these days, talking more and more football, and joining us right now on the BetQL Guest Hotline, Bet Smarter and Beat the Books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It's our pal Mike Florio, creator, editor of ProFootballTalk.com. Now, Mike, there's really no NFL offseason, but I'm wondering, do you find like a little window when you can take a little break?
No.
Sucks.
No break. Now there is a stretch. After the draft, it changes. It's less intense. And then you get through May and into June and the off-season workouts end. And you have, you know, 4 or 5 weeks where life is manageable, and our weekday show PFT Live on Peacock and Sirius XM 85 goes on hiatus for about 5 weeks, and then it all starts up again. But it never goes away. It never stops. There's always something happening. There's always someone making news, even when nothing's going on. It's one of the great things about the NFL. It's become a 365-day-a-year obsession. There's always people out there looking for more. So, and again, I'm not complaining because it's not like I'm breaking rocks or, you know, working in a steel mill or anything like that. It's pretty easy work, and I enjoy it. So I'm kind of glad it never really slows down, and it's going to pick up pretty quickly here. We've got 3 weeks until the game gets started.
Mike, you do PFT Live with Chris Sims. When did the button the shirt all the way to the top thing become, like, his thing? I feel like he owns that now. Like, that's his look. Has he always done that?
He's been doing it since he was a little kid. Like, he's really set in his ways, and that's just his thing. He's been with me now for 5 years, and there's never been any deviation from that. That's just the way he does things, and I assume at this point in his life, he's going to be 42 soon. He's never going to change.
Looks uncomfortable. anyway, that's a non sequitur, but your lead story on ProFootballTalk.com is Baker Mayfield, as expected to be named the week one starter in Carolina. I don't think anybody's really surprised by this, especially the way Sam Darnold went into the tank, and the team, of course, followed him straight into the tank late last season, basically after their first month. What sort of stability do you think Baker Mayfield brings there? And I think if the defense improves, it could be an 8 or 9 win team if McCaffrey stays healthy.
They have a very talented defense that gets lost in the shuffle when the offense isn't doing well. It puts more pressure on the defense, and it doesn't matter how many points the opponent scores if the offense can't respond. And Christian McCaffrey's been banged up a lot the past couple of years. It's not his fault. The position is conducive to guys getting hit and guys getting hurt, and he got paid at the right time because his career hasn't been the same as it was. He was one of the few 1,000-yard rushing, 1,000-yard receiving guys in league history when he did it a few years back. So, you know, if he stays healthy and if Baker Mayfield stays healthy, I think it's going to be on him to be effective and healthy. Last year, he was kind of able to will his way onto the field when he maybe shouldn't have been playing with that injured non-throwing shoulder, because he was in that vibe and that attitude in Cleveland where it was his job, it was his gig. No one was going to take it from him, and the coaching staff wasn't going to sit him down. I think in Carolina, the coaching staff is collectively on the hot seat. And if there's anything that keeps Baker Mayfield from being the guy that's earning this week one job, they'll go with Sam Darnold just to save their own asses. So he's going to have to play well. He's going to have to stay healthy. And I'm surprised it took this long to get to the point where he's the starter. I think they had to be sure that the locker room would get behind Baker Mayfield and that he had to earn it on the field in a head-to-head competition with Sam Darnold. But the thing about having a competition, when you have a guy who just came through the door, every rep that goes to the other guy is one less rep that goes to the guy who's going to be the week one starter. And I just wonder, is he going to be as ready as he could have been if they just would have gone all in with Baker from the first day of training camp?
What happened with their squabble or skirmish with the Patriots?
Well, look, this is a common theme when you have these joint workouts. And this is why a lot of coaches won't do them, or they'll only do them if they have a clear assurance from the opposing head coach that none of that stuff is going to happen. And it did get out of hand a couple of times. I am surprised that it did, because I would think that Bill Belichick would only go forward with these Panthers joint practices if he thought Matt Rhule would have his guys under control. And you assume Belichick always has his guys under control. Nothing good comes from fighting in the preseason. It's just an unnecessary opportunity for a guy to get injured. And we see it, though. We see it. And I still am surprised that at this point we see these things happen. Guys get frustrated. There's less accountability when you're only seeing a guy for a day or two as opposed to seeing him every day. But I would think that at this point the coaches would have hammered into the brains of every player that this is just something you do not do.
All right, let me ask you a few Commanders questions. First of all, and this is something I keep asking every guest that we have on, and I get pissed because I'm like, this is just national narrative. People that are here locally, I feel like we know better. And everyone just hypes up the defense every year and all these first-round picks and their defensive line. Their defense has been awful last couple years. Why does everybody keep saying that? I understand that this year we're playing a softer schedule in theory, but we didn't really add any new starters. In fact, they subtracted, even though he was controversial, Landon Collins, who was impactful in the second half of the season. Chase is out for, you know, he's going to miss a significant amount of time, in my opinion. He had a terrible year last year. Why does everybody keep talking about how this is some big defense?
To the extent there's a national narrative this year, I have not thrown any logs on that fire. Last year, yes. This year, no. And look, the thing about the NFC, you've only got a small handful of teams that really stand out. After that, who knows what happens. And the Commanders continue to be in the division where none of the above wins the division and hosts a playoff game. So the path is easier than if they'd be anywhere else in the league, really. Even though the Eagles are showing real signs of improvement, who knows with the Cowboys. But I the NFC is wide open, and that's what saves Washington. They would be screwed if they were in the AFC. And even with all that, there's just a sense of blah around the team right now. And nothing they do, nothing they say, nothing they try is going to change. The only thing they can do is go out and win football games, and we'll see. But I don't think of that defense this year the same way I did last year, in large part because we had high expectations and they failed to live up to them.
Right. Where are you on the Carson Wentz deal? I mean, the Carson Wentz slander, in my opinion, is outrageous. It's way beyond what he's actually accomplished in the league. He's had bad years, but he's also had good years. People act like he's a complete incompetent. Where do you stand on that?
Well, last year I was intrigued by what would happen, given that he was basically kicked out of Philadelphia and welcomed in by a family member. It had a little Fresh Prince vibe to it, although it wasn't all the way out in L.A. He went to Indy, and he got together with Frank Reich, the guy who was the offensive coordinator when he was in Philadelphia, and he was on track to have an MVP season in 2017 before he tore his ACL in December against the Rams, and then we know what happened after that. They go on and win the Super Bowl, and they ended up keeping Carson Wentz beyond 2018 when he got injured again and Nick Foles took him to the final eight. He had that safe harbor last year with Frank Reich and it all blew up again and they ran him out of Indianapolis after only 1 year. So I'm a firm believer, you know, the question that was posed to him last week that was supposedly so offensive to the sensibilities of team president Jason Wright, that's what everyone's saying. He got kicked out of Philly and now he's been kicked out of Indy. This is it for him. And when they made that trade, I said at the time, look, I mean, I remember seeing Ron Rivera on the Amazon All or Nothing the year that they were embedded with the Panthers. You get Ron Rivera in the locker room, he communicates very differently, far more pointedly and far more profanely than you ever hear him at a press conference. And I suspect that Rivera, unlike anyone else, could get through to Carson Wentz and say to him, hey, man, this is it. That's what surprised me about Jason Wright's reaction. Nothing that these guys are going to hear from a reporter, they surely haven't already heard from Ron Rivera, especially Wentz. Hey, Carson, hey, buddy, this is it, man. You know, you can do the hard parts of the job. It's the easy parts of the job that you've screwed up. You've got to be available to your teammates. You've got to be in a position where these guys don't view you as aloof. You've got to make better decisions with the ball. You can't treat every play like it's the last play of the Super Bowl. You got to know when to call it a day and not try to do something that your body won't let you do. And every once in a while you see a guy like that, whether it's Carson Wentz, Jameis Winston does this from time to time, where they think they can do more than they can, so they try to do that thing that they can't do, and you end up having a left-handed throw that gets intercepted for a pick six or some other goofy thing where you just held onto the ball too long, you thought something was going to happen that didn't happen. If they can work that out of his game, then he can be better. But he did get thrown out of Philadelphia. He did get thrown out of Indianapolis, and this is his
last chance. Mike, when you say he got thrown out, because we've debated this on the show, and I want to get your take. You're an insider. You talk to people. How much was it owner-driven, and then where does the GM and the coach come in? Because some people think, oh, is the owner just didn't like him, they moved on. What really happened there in Indianapolis?
Well, I mean, there was a fracture between him and Doug Peterson, but how much of that was coming from the top of the organization? How much did they just get to the point where they just recognized, you know, we need a franchise guy, we thought it was going to be him, and it just isn't, so it's time to move on. You know, the Eagles have been kind of a low-key version of what we've seen from the Panthers in recent years, where the Panthers are just desperate to find a franchise quarterback, and David Tepper thinks he can write a big enough check and go get one. The Eagles have been on the hunt for a franchise quarterback for a decade. Now, really, ever since Donovan McNabb had his game start to fall apart and they dumped him on, as you guys don't need to be reminded of where he ended up. But I remember Jeffrey Lurie saying back in 2013 that our biggest obligation right now is to find a franchise quarterback. And not long after that, Nick Foles threw 7 touchdown passes against the Raiders, and they thought they had him. And he, what a weird story. When you broaden the lens, they thought they had him in Nick Foles. They dump him for Sam Bradford. Then they get Carson Wentz. Then Foles is there as the backup, and he wins a Super Bowl for the Eagles. They've won a Super Bowl, and they haven't found a franchise quarterback, and I just think they recognized that Carson Wentz wasn't going to be
all right,
the guy.
So that's Philly.
Other than that is detailed. They decided he wasn't going to be the guy.
Yeah, that's Philly. Mike, that's Philly. What happened in Indy?
Was that Ursay-driven, or was there something else?
Well, it was Ursay-driven because Wentz wasn't good enough. Reich probably would have kept him. Frank Reich's lucky he didn't get fired. He's lucky he wasn't. I thought the way, if you think about it, the table's set. All you got to do is go beat the Jaguars, the hapless Jaguars, in Week 18 when they're playing for nothing. They're just waiting to get this game over with so they can pack their stuff and go home. And the Jaguars beat them with a playoff spot on the line. I'm surprised Ursay didn't fire everybody after that game. I think Chris Ballard, a very calming influence, and knows how to communicate with Jim Irsay and talked him into giving Frank Reich another chance. But that was owner driven, and it was necessary. I mean, you look at the mess the Colts have been in, where it's like you spin a wheel every year to find out who your quarterback's going to be. This year they had Matt Ryan fall into their laps out of the sky, which is just an amazing turn of events how that happened. Really, if Deshaun Watson doesn't pull the Falcons to the table in the competition to trade for him, I think Matt Ryan is still the quarterback in Atlanta right now. So it worked out, but Wentz, you know, again, the flaws that we've seen in the game, the fact that he tries to do too much, he doesn't know when to cut it off, he doesn't know when to just slide, get out of bounds, throw the ball away, live to see another play, don't do something stupid that causes the game to implode, and just the inability to go out and beat one of the worst teams in the league when your playoff berth was sitting there waiting to be seized, that's the unforgivable sin. And it really, look, I didn't have a problem with it when Washington did it. I don't know who else they would have gotten. I don't know who else ultimately would have agreed to go there. It's one thing, you got to find a guy that's available, and you got to convince him to come play for you. There's a chance. And if it doesn't work, he's done. He's either perennial backup or he's out of the NFL, but this is it for him as a starter.
We're joined by Mike Florio, creator and editor of Pro Football Talk, at Pro Football Talk on Twitter. It's becoming more apparent every day that Ron Rivera is not in love with Antonio Gibson. He's not in love with the fumbling, and he hates his running style where he pitter-pats instead of hits the hole hard, like the recent third-round pick, Brian Robinson out of Alabama. Talk about the murky situation at running back here in Washington.
Well, you know, running backs, one of the few positions in football where the supply outweighs the demand. And if there's a guy who isn't getting it done the way the coach wants it, there's going to be somebody else on the depth chart or somebody else available in trade or cut by another team or just free agent hanging around. It's a skill that a lot of guys have. And there's value in youth, health, and doing what the coach wants. So if you're not doing what the coach wants, you're not going to survive. And you're going to end up at best in a revolving door with a bunch of different guys getting options, or at worst, you're just not going to have a chance, and you're going to be either on the bench or off the team. And again, that's one of those few positions where if the guy that's out there isn't getting it done the way the coach wants, it's easy to find somebody else who will.
What kind of rookie campaign do you foresee for Jahan Dotson, who was selected first by the Commanders in the most recent draft?
Well, you know, I know there's been some buzz about him, but it all comes down to who's getting you the football. Can Carson Wentz get him the ball? And how big of a chunk of that passing game is going to go to him versus Terry McLaurin? And how are teams going to cover? Are they going to shade extra toward McLaurin? Is that going to create opportunities for Dotson? Is he going to have to prove that he can beat single coverage on a consistent basis before they start focusing on him? So, you know, there's a lot of pressure, I think, on these first-round receivers. One of the ingredients, I think, in being a really great receiver for some, like a Michael Thomas, and I call it the Michael Thomas effect, where you go lower than you think you should have gone, and that really gives you motivation and drive, and you focus. You don't get complacent. You're really driven. And I don't know what Dotson's mindset is, but a lot of pressure on the first-round guys. There's so many of them this year, and there's so much expectation. They just walk through the door, and they end up being great. But for every Justin Jefferson, there's a N'Keal Harry, and it's part of the fun of watching it all shake out and see what these guys do when it's time to suit them up and play with some of the best players they'll ever see in their lives on the other side of the ball.
Mike, we know you're super busy. We always appreciate the time. It's Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. Thanks again. We'll have to have you on again soon.
Thanks.
Thank you, buddy.
Good talking to you guys.
Yep. All right, pal.
It's Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. When we come back, we will get into EB's entertainment page. We'll do that next here on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.